I want to think about the attitude of the Jews in Jeremiah 42 to God's word, because they have surrendered to the Babylonians, presumably because Jeremiah has kept telling them to do that, and they've accepted that they've sinned, and okay, the Babylonians have let them, this group of Jews have let them remain in the land, and yet things have gone wrong because the Babylonians allowed them to have their own sort of puppet governor over them, and now one of their sort of nationalist types has gone and killed that person and killed some Babylonians. They've killed Gedaliah, whom the Babylonians had appointed ruler over the Jews who remained in Judah. And now they're really frightened. The Babylonians, surely they think, are going to come and take revenge. Let's run away to Egypt. This is the usual attitude, isn't it, of people. Let's trust in the world. Let's go down to Egypt. But they knew that this was not at all what historically God's people should do. And they knew that Jeremiah had been telling them that they must repent and accept the Babylonian rulership over them and submit under the Babylonian yoke. So they come to Jeremiah with already their minds made up. We've got to get out of here. Any minute now, the Babylonians are going to come and take revenge for our guys killing their guys. This is a stupid thing to do, but, you know, Ishmael did it. We have got to get out of here and get down to Egypt. But they seem to want God's blessing on it. But they come to Jeremiah with their minds made up. That's my point. So they say, could you please pray for us to Yahweh your God? Well, this idea of could you pray for me, please, is quite common. You think of Simon Magus doing that when he's told, you know, you need to repent and pray to God for what you've done. He said, oh, can you pray for me, please? And you think of Israel before God at Sinai, and they come before God, and God says, I want to talk to you. I want you to hear the voice of the living God. Or, no, they say, no, oh, we don't want that. Oh, Moses, could you go and talk to this God, and then you come back and you tell us what he says? That wasn't God's original intention. But you see the strong desire that there is for religion in people, and the shying away from personal engagement with God and Jesus. Let's have something in between. Let's have religion. Let's have a religious structure. Let's have a Moses or a Jeremiah. You go and do the business of prayer for me. And this is the trouble with religion per se. And that is why the call of Jesus is to individuals, and we must never forget that. It's a call for us personally to engage with God and with Jesus. And you must always have your quiet time with God every day. You must always have your prayer time, morning and evening, and hopefully during the course of the day, to pray directly to God and to Jesus. This is so critically important because this is what eternal life will be about. It's a relationship with him, not a membership of a denomination, a religion, or whatever that you sort of assume is going to sort of get you to salvation in a sort of eclectic sense. So they come to him, and I think I might have said to them, no, guys, I think you pray to God between you and God. I'm not doing that for you. But anyway, he does pray for them. But they say to him in verse 3, can you pray to God that Yahweh your God, you see, they seem to think, oh, you know, you've got a closer relationship with Yahweh than we have, that Yahweh your God may show us the way in which we should walk and the thing that we should do. Well, they'd already decided, hadn't they, the way in which we should walk. That way was down south to Egypt. And may Yahweh your God show us the thing that we should do. Well, that was to run away to Egypt. That's what they thought. And this, unfortunately, is pretty typical of how we can all be. We pray to God for guidance with our mind already made up. We have some wonderful hymns and songs that ask for God to guide us and lead us, and we may sing them sincerely and with gusto. But the question is, have you already made your mind up? Already? Well, Jeremiah says, I have heard you, I will pray to Yahweh your God, according to your words. So they come to him and say, can you pray to Yahweh your God? And he says, I'll pray to Yahweh your God. Again, you see, he's encouraging them to still have Yahweh as their God, although he goes along with them as a sort of concession to human weakness, I think. Now, he has earlier been told not to make intercession for the people, but he does, and you see there, I think, the depth of his personal relationship with God, that God had earlier said to him, don't pray to me anymore for this people. And now they say, oh, could you pray to God for us? And he does. So you see that he had this personal relationship. And he says, whatever thing Yahweh shall answer you, I will declare it to you. He was not going to keep anything back. And they say to him, oh, that's nice, verse 5. Yahweh be a true and faithful witness among us if we don't do according to all the word which Yahweh your God shall send you to us, So then they're saying again, Yahweh your God, but they're assuring him that we will do it, in verse 6, whether it be good or evil, we will obey the voice of Yahweh our God to whom we send you, that it may be well with us when we obey the voice of Yahweh our God. So you think, little progress there. They start off saying, can you pray to Yahweh your God? And he says, no, I'll pray to Yahweh who is your God. And now they say, okay, fair enough, we will do whatever Yahweh our God tells us. Well, yep, that was a little bit of progress. But of course, when God tells them what they don't want to hear, they will not do it. And yet they say, yeah, we're open-minded to the scriptures, as it were. We're open-minded to God's word. Whether it's good or evil, whether it's what we want to hear or not, we shall do it. And this is our attitude as well. We are apparently open-minded to God's word to us. So we say, so we like to think. And yet, I mean, this is the great lesson, of course. 10 days later, the word of Yahweh came to Jeremiah. And he calls them all together. And he tells them exactly what they don't want to hear. Verse 10, if you will live in this land, then I will build you and not pull you down, and I will plant you and not pluck you up. For I grieve over the distress that I have brought on you. Now, what a wonderful promise. This is almost a promise of re-establishing his kingdom, that I will build you up, I will plant you. This is alluding to the blessings for obedience to the covenant. I won't pluck you up. I'm so sorry. I grieve over what I've done in judging you. That would have happened if they had remained in the land, but they effectively didn't want to be in God's kingdom. They wanted to get out of it and go down to Egypt. And they're told in verse 11, don't be afraid of the king of Babylon. Remember, I said that they were sure that he was going to take revenge for the Babylonians who had just been killed and murdered by the Jews, some of the Jews. Don't be afraid of the king of Babylon, of whom you are afraid. God fully recognizes and understands their feelings. Don't be afraid of him, it's repeated twice, for I am with you to save you and to deliver you from his hand. I will grant you mercy, that he may have mercy on you. But if you say, we will not dwell in the land, so that you don't obey the voice of Yahweh your God, saying, no, but we will go into the land of Egypt, where, as they thought, we shall see no war, nor hear the sound of the trumpet, and there will we dwell. Now, in this case, hear the word of Yahweh. If you indeed set your faces to enter into Egypt and go to live there, and they had done that, they'd already set their faces to go and live in Egypt, they just wanted God to sort of confirm them, and have some sort of blessing from the holy man, as it were, Jeremiah. But if you do this, then, 16, it shall happen. The sword which you fear shall overtake you there, and there you shall die. So shall it be with all the men who set their faces to go into Egypt to live there. They shall die by the sword. None of them shall remain or escape from the evil that I will bring upon them. And so God goes on about how he will pour his wrath out upon them. Yahweh has spoken concerning you, remnant of Judah. Don't go into Egypt, verse 19. Know certainly that I have testified to you this day. This could not be a clearer statement. It could not have been clearer. There was no difficulty here in interpretation. And what do? They go into Egypt. And so their whole apparent spirituality was revealed as mere religiosity. That's all it was. Mere religiosity. We want sort of some sort of blessing on what we anyway want to do. They were using God and their relationship with God and their access to God's word to sort of just confirm them in the path that they already wanted to take. Just as people tend to use God's truth to confirm their own native personality types, their own natural tendencies anyway. Like the young guy who thinks, yeah, I'd like to go traveling. Or, yeah, I'd like to travel around Africa. I'd like to travel around Asia. I'll do this in the name of missionary work. Yep. Then the guy just goes and does what any other young person does. Using the things of God to just confirm your own natural way that you naturally want to go. And we are tempted like this all the time. And the question is, are we truly humble to God's word? Are we going to accept what he says when it cuts directly across that which we have naturally desired, what we've already, as it says here, set our face to do? And are we just trying to find verses out of the Bible to confirm us in a sort of proof-texting way, in the way that we naturally want to go anyway? This is the question. Because to be truly humble to God's word, to come to him, as it were, as a blank sheet, to say, look, you know, you write on me. You guide me. You show me the way in which I should go, and I'll really try and go. This is very difficult. This is why we need to pray before we read the Bible, before we hear God's voice, that we will be open to it, and that we will be humble, and that we will have the strength to go where he leads us. Because very often it is actually against where we naturally already subconsciously, intuitively, have decided we ought to be going.